Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
For Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is Kingdom Lifestyles. This is today as the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Before we get into our message for tonight, we'll be picking back up in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. Amen. Moving on from there. Amen. Probably back in the first verse as well, and just moving on down. But before we get into the word, we want Prophetess Crystal to give us our announcements and our prayer. Prophetess.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. And once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We are excited that you have joined us here tonight. In the way of announcements, just want to let you know that every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us right here for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. And on Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live right here at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That is also our website, People of God. Take some time when you visit us and get to know more about myself and Apostle McQueen. Get to know about the ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as being a prayer partner, a vigil partner, and a supporter, amen, of the actual sons and daughters that we have under our ministry that are overseas. They also have Facebook pages as well, People of God, where you can connect with them on the Facebook page. If the Lord is leading you and touching your heart to support missions, to support the vision over there, you can contact each and every one. They have Facebook pages that are alive and active. You can see pictures so that you can see, amen, where your funding, where your monetary gifts are going, and where God is doing a work, and where the next level or the next need, amen, is needed by your support. So you can find them on our website, www.ctkr.org, as well as their Facebook pages. And speaking of Facebook pages, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries has a Facebook page. Please visit us on our page. Like us. Leave your any type of information. Leave a shout out, prayer request, praise report. Amen. We want to hear from you. Amen. Also, Women of Prophetic Destiny even has a Facebook page. Like us on the Facebook page. Leave a shout out. Prayer requests, praise reports, anything. We want to hear what God is doing in your life. Amen. Amen. And those are the announcements for today. Now let us go into prayer. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We magnify and we glorify you. This is a glorious day, God, that you have given us. You've given us with, you've woken us up with purpose, Amen. You have allowed us to see another day. You've allowed us to embark one more time to give your name praise, glory, and honor. Father, even now as we come, as the man of God comes to minister the word of God, Father, we ask that you would touch him, Father. We ask that we would not hear him, but we would hear the God through him in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would just anoint this word. Let this word bring clarity. Let this word bring peace into someone's life today. Let this word make every crooked way straight. God, let this word challenge. Let this word bring deliverance, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Open our spiritual eyes to see, our spiritual ears to hear. Amen. And our hearts will move to obey your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, as this word goes forth, we ask that you would let the seeds of life go deep in our hearts, Father, and bring up a mighty harvest in this season in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we magnify, we glorify you. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you are will do and what you continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Thank you for that wonderful prayer. We are just in the way of announcements and to reinforce what Prophetess Crystal has said to us. We have to be very aware, and we're asking you to help us in being very aware of the needs of those ministries that are under our covering. Those churches in Kenya, Uganda, they have orphanages and schools attached to them, and they're, we need support for the kids going back to school. If you know the other side of the equator, then you'll know that when it's summer here, it's winter there. And that's how the seasons go. So we're out in the summer. The kids are enjoying summer, and the kids there are going back to school and trying to make sure that they can do their studies. They need help with the orphanages there in Kenya as well as Uganda. Evangelist Isaac Ademiyi over in Nigeria needs Bibles and Christian study material and those type of resources. He has a Bible school that he teaches over in Nigeria. And he's always saying, Dad, we need some people to donate Bibles. We need people to donate Christian resources, study resources, so we can teach Christianity here. I said before, there's a movement in Nigeria right now called Chrislam, which is a mixture of Islam and Christianity. They meet up together. They sing Christian songs. They sing Islamic songs. They read out the Bible. They read out the Quran. And it's an attempt to bring peace, you know, from all the religious infighting and some of the other things that are going on. But yet and still, there's a remnant who says, listen, we're not going to compromise the gospel. We're not going to compromise the testimony of Jesus Christ. He is Lord. He is King of Kings. And we will preach this gospel. And they need help. Amen. So when we ask you to go to our website, www.ctkr.org, there you'll find out more about us. And there we pray that you'll become a vision partner with us. As you sow into this ministry, it allows us to be a blessing and a support to those other ministries as well. Amen. So there's some of you who will never go across seas. You'll never go over to Africa. And when you go, you'll go to the tourist area. I'll let you know that our churches and the ministries are in some of the most impoverished areas. Amen. The churches are set up by frame and leaves and things put over, branches put over the roof to keep the elements off of them. But even at that, they're still meeting. They're still faithful to come. They walk from miles around just to make sure that they're at the meetings because they believe that God is going to do something for them. They're receiving a word from God. And these are the type of people that we're asking you to help us to be a resource to. We're asking you to be a support for. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and we're looking forward to you listening to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and sowing so that we can do greater work. Amen. So today, we want to just say to those who are listening, especially our spiritual sons and daughters who are up in Ohio, I've been getting all of your messages, and we are definitely in prayer with you all. Keep us in prayer as we go through this time. I know that God has a purpose behind everything. Amen. Let's don't get lost on the incident that we don't see the message. Amen. Because if God is speaking, then we need to be able to hear him clearly. Amen. Now let's go into this word. 2 Corinthians. And I was looking at the 6th verse, but I think I'll read it from the 1st down to the 6th verse. It says, therefore, we have this ministry as we have received mercy. We do not lose heart, but we renounce the healing of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we were studying here on Tuesday, and at the end of our time, we had just gotten to this point, 7th verse, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we've been talking and we've been dealing about being conformed and transformed into his image. The danger of not going through confirmation or transformation is that you begin to think that this is really about you, and you try your best to make sure that people see you. We slather God's name on it. We put, sprinkle a little Jesus on top of it so people will feel that we're doing it the right way, with the right purpose. But when we really look at it, it has nothing to do with Christ. It has everything to do with you. So the message that goes out then is not a pure, genuine kingdom message, because it's not about the kingdom at all. Huh? So if it's not about the kingdom, then that means that you can't really preach a kingdom message without a kingdom focus. Mm-hmm. So what we have is we have people who are ministering a word, but you find them always bringing back the outcome of that word to themselves. But what do you mean, Apostle? Simply put, I've been places and in ministry, been in places with people in ministry who have ministered the word. And as it gets down to the place where they should be celebrating Jesus and pointing the way to Christ, I find that they're saying, if you're going to get anything from God, you got to get it through me. I'm the messenger that's here. I'm the ambassador that's here. Mm-hmm. I'm the connection to your blessing. Well, listen, hold on. If God wants to use you, he will. And if God don't want to use you, he won't. Huh? So that means that we have to be open and pliable to what God is trying to do without putting ourselves in his way. See, that's the problem that we have, is that Jesus Christ is the way. Amen? Yes. And you're a vessel, but the authority that you operate in is not your authority, it's his authority. Hmm? The power that manifests through the word of God, using the name of Jesus, has nothing to do with how powerful you are. It has everything to do with the name of Jesus and the power that is in using the name of Jesus. These signs shall follow them that believe. All I have to do then is I have to stir up your pure mind and stir up you to the point that you believe God. When you believe God and you believe the word of God and you believe the promises of God, then you can call on the name of Jesus and you'll see manifestation of that word. In other words, God will validate and verify that word.
Mm-hmm.
See, so I can preach everything to you, and as long as I have Jesus as the focal point, we'll see power and manifestation from the word of God. Amen? But when I start preaching me and throw a little scripture on top of it to try to make it authoritative, then guess what? I fail, and the word that I've taken out of context can't stand either.
Amen.
So we have people who say, I went to the church, I went to the man, I went to the woman of God, and as I got there, they gave me a scripture or two, they prayed for me, you know, they told me, make sure I gave my offering, and we sold greatly into it, and we was looking for manifestation to come, nothing happened, and I started checking my life to see if I was doing something wrong or if I was doing it right, and we couldn't figure it out. Well, listen, the reason why nothing manifested wasn't because you were living the wrong life, it was because the person who you went to, amen, came to you and they were misinterpreting the scripture, or they were misappropriating the authority of the word of God. See, when he says here that we don't preach ourselves, that is true. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ.
Yes.
Let me read this passage to you in the Message Bible. Amen. It says, since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times.
Mm-hmm.
We refuse to wear masks and play games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if I divert from that just slightly, there's too many games being played in the pulpits.
That's the truth.
Huh? People who wear the name and have titles, but they're playing games. The danger in that is that when a real man or woman of God shows up, you have clouded and muddied up the water so much that no one can get a clear vision or a clear drink.
Mm.
See, so that's the problem when we deal with apostles nowadays, is that there's a lot of people who came out as shysters because there was there wasn't really a lot of people out there dealing with the apostolic office, so they became apostles, and they told people that this is what an apostle is, and they led a lot of people astray. So now a real apostle shows up, and you can't hear the word of God, remembering how much of a shyster the last apostle was. Well, guess what? The Bible said in the last day there will be false apostles,
yep,
false teachers, false pastors, all of these things, false prophets. Don't you think for 1 minute that if there's a false, there's a real? Now, how do I know the real from the fake? I know the real from the fake when I'm dealing with someone and they have the calling, they're carrying the title, and they're doing the work of God. And it always points back to Christ. It always brings glory to the Father. Then you can believe that that person is genuine. But when you go to someone who has who's carrying the name prophet, apostle, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and it's always coming back to them and what I got and how I got it, and you're going to get it if you do the same to me as I did to somebody else, because as you do it to me, God is going to do it to you. Hold on. You telling me that I need to put you in a position, huh, as a provider, as a way maker, as Christ? We can't do that. Amen. That's not scripturally sound. But that points to how the false operates, because they have to come back to them. Listen, if Jesus sent them out, okay, if Jesus sent them out, amen, two by two, and he told them not to take their money belts or their purses with them, and he told them that they would be taken care of. When they came back, he said, did you lack anything? They said, no, not a thing. So that means that even now when God sends us, amen, we shouldn't lack anything.
Amen.
But it's not because we go out and fleece the flock and tell them in order for you to get a miracle, you got to bring the best offering you have. In order for you to get something from God, you have to dig deep. See, that's not the example that God gave us, that Jesus Christ left with us. Amen. He didn't tell us to go in and preach feel-good messages and inspirational messages that have good themes and intentions behind it, because when you preach the gospel, what's clouding their vision so that they can't do better is dispelled and cleared up through the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
So if you're saying they can't really see, let me give them an example that'll help them see. Stop. Before you change the gospel, trust in the gospel. Trust in the word of God. It will work. Amen. So we got a lot of people right now playing games in pulpits, wearing masks. We don't want you to see what we really look like. I share it with you before, how my son and I, we were up in Pontiac, Michigan with another friend, and he brought one of his friends around who was a pastor, and the pastor was sitting there talking about, you know, what their church was doing and how God was speaking and everything. And then just as quick as he said that, the waitress came up, and, you know, being that Fridays is where we were, she had on something that was a little tight. And she came up and asked for the order, and he stopped this whole conversation to talk about what he could do with that lady. My son looked at me, and he was in surprise. He's like, this is a pastor talking like that? That's how we talk in the locker room, you know, concerning some of the girls that we see and we like. You know, but see, that right there is a misrepresentation of Jesus Christ in the earth. With a title. You see that? So when that goes out, then people who are on the borderline, people who may go one way or the other, they end up stepping back. Now, who just won? See, that soul and the results of that action, you have to give an account for that. And we're called to compel them to come, not to shoo them away. Amen. So we got to take off masks and we got to stop playing games. Let's keep on reading. It says we don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes, and we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves.
Yeah, talk about that.
Huh? You see that? We're not going to, hey doc, you know, if you do this, then I'm gonna do that. You know, come in, I'm gonna get your people together, and you come get my people together. We'll both make out like fat cats. Well, guess what? We don't go on assignments like that. And if that's what your MO is, you don't come here as an assignment. Amen. God didn't call us to that. We're trying to rebuild a foundation and establish the true foundation of what it means to be a child of God. How can we build the kingdom of God off of all this phoniness and all this crooked stuff? Huh? maneuvering, manipulating, huh, behind the scenes. Then you show up, you know, and you ready to talk to everybody and tell them how great and wonderful you are. But that was, see, at the table, I could have said to the young man, listen, I'm going to have something going on. Why don't you bring me up? I'm going to bring you down. And, you know, we can establish a fellowship between us. Well, if I would have did that before praying and discerning, you know, through the Spirit who this person was, then I would have made a mistake. That means that my sheep, amen, who are under our care, would have been accessible to something that I know would not be beneficial to them. Amen. I'm responsible for that. Amen. See, so we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. And let me just say this right here at that point. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. This Bible was written before I got here and before you got here. And after we're long gone, cold in our graves, amen, should the Lord delay his coming, amen, see, this word will still be accurate and right. Amen. This is not a time book. This is a timeless message from a timeless God. Amen. And he's not sitting back waiting on us, you know, to get to a certain point so he can change the word of God. No, before the word was written, before we went through this whole process of having the word of God, he had already established the word. Amen. And he protects that word. Amen. Amen. That's why there's an attack every place you look on the values of this word. Yep. Amen. See, when you go in there, and this is the trick of the enemy, is to change what it actually means. I know it's in there, but let me change what it means. Amen. There's the a Bible that they just written that is LGBT friendly. Amen. And what it does is it takes out all the gender responses in there. And it also takes out everything that points to and incriminates and speaks of homosexuality, so that when they read the Bible, there is no condemnation. So they switch the word. You see that? To suit themselves. Isn't that what it says here? And we don't twist God's words to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say in the open. Huh? And the truth, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to see, can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. So after we had changed all this word around, hello, where do we actually stand before God? Well, Apostle, you sound homophobic. No, I'm not homophobic at all, you know. I don't think there's a family out here that hasn't been touched by some type of drug or substance abuse and some form of homosexuality, you know, and we still love our family members. We still love those who, you know, let me say it like this. If I have a family member who's on some substance and they're abused there, I still love them as my family, but I'm wise enough not to bring them into my treasury. Amen? Same thing with every other aspect. I can love the person and hate the sin. And that's what we're really called to do. How could Jesus look at all those people, the multitude, see them, have compassion on them? Wait a minute. Hold on. And heal them all. Obviously, he was dealing with the soul and not the sin. And there's times when we gotta, you know, get your nose out the air, you know, and put your chest back in, walking around like a peacock, trying to let everybody see how wonderful you look. How about you do like Christ did? And he went out amongst the people and did his best work out amongst the people. Huh? When he went to the temple, he went to go teach, and they just challenged them to see if they could trip them up. It wasn't about revelation. It wasn't about redemption. It wasn't about revival. It was about how can we trip him up?
Yep.
See that? So they would bring people in that they know. First of all, how are you going to bring a man who has a withered hand into the temple when it is strictly forbidden for anyone who has any impediment of any kind to even come into the presence of God? They couldn't come in the temple. And that was what they used to keep people outside of the temple. So when people would come, you know, they looked them over. And if you didn't measure up to what we felt was whole and right, we told you you couldn't come in. Thank you for your offering, but you can't come in. So it became this special club of people who were allowed in and who brought big gifts to get in. And those who were rejected because they didn't fit the MO or those who had. So you have the haves and the have-nots. And as long as you have, you're welcome in. If you don't have, you got to come back later. You know, there's only one time we'll let you come even close, and you got to stay in the outer courts. You know, don't be looking in here. Don't peek in here. You know, see, and that same mentality has crept into the body of Christ today. You know, the specials and, you know, everybody else sin. But no sin have I done. But you're just as self-righteous as all get out. Jesus debated with those type of people. But then he went out amongst the multitude, taught them that the Sermon on the Mount didn't happen in the temple. You understand? The Beatitudes that were given weren't given inside the temple. See, the word of God was revealed to common man. The revelation of Jesus Christ was revealed outside of the institution, if you will. And he healed them all. So Jesus had to see them and know their sins individually, have compassion on them, and heal them. That means that when he did so, he knew that without a touch from him, that they did not have the ability to get the messed up part of their life together. Notice when he would heal them, he would tell them, go back to the temple and show yourselves to the priest. Why was that important? It was important because it allowed them to come back in fellowship with the Father. But secondly, it allowed the priest to see
that you have rejected it. The Lord has accepted it. You have to allow them in. Who has been rejected by your word of gospel?
Who has been pushed out because your word, that should be the word of God, has become twisted. It suits you and your worldview of what you want to see at church. Huh? You see that? See, if we're doing it, we have to do it right. Let's keep going. Third verse, 2 Corinthians 4:3 in the Message Bible. If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. Just what I just said. We got to get out here, and regardless, if you have a vice or a shortcoming or a crutch or anything else, my job is to preach the gospel to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to take care of handling whatever that problem is. Amen? You see that? But I can't do that if I'm judging you and I don't have compassion. But that's just the Lord dealing with them because of their sinful life. Well, I don't see Jesus dealing with the people because of their sinful life. Because when he healed them all, they hadn't came to accept him. They heard the message, and when he started stretching forth his hand and people started getting healed, he started healing them all. He didn't hold the prayer line and tell people, before I do this, you got to come down and accept me as your Lord and Savior. He simply did the work. I wish I had a church full of people right now, because I would simply say, look at your neighbor and say, just do the work. Yeah. When you just do the work, people will come around so that they can get the miracle that they need. But because they get the miracle that they need, the need met in their life, they'll sit there and listen and learn and begin to walk after the principles, the precepts of the miracle that just happened for them. See, we're so busy trying to get people perfect so that they can get a miracle. And Jesus does miracles for imperfect people. And that miracle helps them to see the flaw of their life, the shortcoming, and everything else. And they begin to adjust their lives so that they can walk after the order of Christ. Because if he's done so much for you, you're that much more grateful. Mm-hmm. You understand? So this isn't about us preaching a gospel to perfect people. The gospel is for imperfect people. That brings them into a proper relationship. That proper relationship brings them into perfection or maturity. Amen? As we go through that, we'll learn and we'll know that God is pleased with us. He's pleased with the work that we're doing. Amen? Huh? So let's see what it says. If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back anyway. Preach the unadulterated gospel. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. In other words, these other people are leading them astray. So why do I have such a drive and a focus and a goal on making sure that the proper gospel is preached? Because there's a lot of people out here preaching their form of the gospel.
That's the truth.
And they're running around, and a young man said something to me, and, you know, in his eyes, it was a valid point, but, you know, in the scripture, it spoke differently. And he said, if all these people aren't doing the right thing and they're not preaching the right thing, then how come the churches are growing? You know, what causes them to grow? I said, you have to understand something. Broad is the way to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. Huh? Enter at the straight gate. In other words, you can find everybody, you know, running the way that seems easy. You know, give me my blessing. I make good money. Let me just, you know, let me invest in the kingdom so that I could tell the Lord, look, I invested in, you know I still had a problem with this, and I know I was still doing that, and I couldn't forgive nobody, and I was cutthroat here, and I was, well, guess what? Those are the things that he's trying to get out of your life, you know. Look at what was said to Simon when he saw that by the laying of hands that people received the Holy Spirit. He said, let me buy this. And Peter said to him, he said, Simon, your money perish with you. Do you see that? So in other words, you can't buy your way into this? No, you can't. It is a gift. Amen. And if it's a gift, you don't have to buy the gift. The gift is given. Jesus Christ has already given his life for you. Amen? Yeah. And if he's given his life, all you have to do is receive the gift. Amen? Look what it says here. It says, no, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. Why would they refuse to give it serious attention? Because it doesn't come with the light. It doesn't come with the other things. You know, there's no noise, no balloons, no confetti. There's no neon lights. There's no LED boards that light up the whole area when you come in, flashing at what you've given and who you are. Amen? See, when you get into true ministry, you know, it's not about any of those things. We're just grateful that God gives us an opportunity to minister the word. Amen. Yeah. And as we travel around the country, those who invite us and we go, we don't go there and try to be superstars when we get there. We go there and we ask the Holy Spirit what he wants to do. And he always opens up the door and shows us what we need to do when we get there. It's never that we're going trying to fill up our calendars and let everybody see how deep and awesome we are. We just go on assignment. When God allows us to go, then we go. And when we get there, we trust in the Holy Spirit to make sure that we are accurate and that we are beneficial to those that we're ministering. Amen? So I'm not going for a show. I'm going because there's a job to do. The anointing never shows up for show out. The anointing only shows up for work. Amen?
Yes.
So they're going the wrong way, and they refuse to get serious attention. All they have eyes for is the fashionable god of darkness.
Mm.
Ooh, wow. Mm. I look good, at least. Okay, keep looking good. But look at who you're representing. All they have eyes for is the fashionable god of darkness. They think he can give them what they want, and they won't have to bother believing a truth they can't see. They're stone blind to the day spring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get.
That's true.
Huh?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Look what it says. I mean, they don't have to bother with believing the truth. Well, you know, it's an inconvenient thing to preach about hell and sin. Well, I can preach about blessings and abundant living. It's God's will for you to live a whole life. Yes, it is. But the way that you live a whole life is you got to get the sin out. Because the sin is the part that keeps you from being able to live the whole life. And that sin is the part that keeps you from the blessings of God. Because you can't be in his presence and full of sin, because the righteousness of God will strike you down. Hello, somebody. When I was coming up as a young man, we didn't play with the anointing. We didn't play with church. You know, we had a reverence for the power of God. See, I come up holiness, old time, old school holiness. Amen. And even though there are certain things that the Lord has allowed us to move past, amen, there's still certain things that are foundation that will not change. Huh? So we found that we don't have to be in church for 4 or 5 hours in order to have church. Amen. I know somebody's going to say, well, that's what we do. Okay, well, that's wonderful. Amen. It takes that and it takes some more. Amen. But there are some who won't come and hear the gospel there. And God has to use each one of us as a tool to accomplish certain goals. Amen. We do a 2-hour service, the 2-hour, 15 minutes, 2 hours and a half at the longest, you know, when we do service. Amen. But that's what God gave us. Amen. And we're not cutting corners. When he wants worship, we're worshiping. Laying in the floor, we're walking the floor. The music is set there. There is a foundation for it. We're not going nowhere until he's ready for us to move. How can I move past the Holy Spirit and he's the one who gives me and empowers me to preach a word? So when he wants worship, guess what we're doing at Christ the King? We're worshiping. Huh? When he gives the word, we're giving the word. Amen? And after you have set the atmosphere properly, then it's easy for you to receive a word, and it don't take 2 hours of preaching because you like to hear your voice in order to get the message of the cross, amen, out. The people will respond to the atmosphere because they're already open, and we're pouring in seed, and we're watering those seeds that have already been planted, amen. God gives the increase. So we learn how to come in and do that, amen. But the thing is that the foundation of the old school is what taught us certain things, like spiritual warfare. Amen?
Yes, God.
We learned how to intercede. They weren't called intercessors. They were called prayer warriors. Mm-hmm. And noonday prayer, they used to come out and pray and talk to God and cry out and call out the names of the sinners, and people will call into the church and say, pray for us, we're going through something, and you would hear the names called out. That's how it used to be. Nowadays, we have intercessors, and they go in and they pray for cars, houses, you know, and people at work, and you know, that my enemies are under my feet and all the rest of that. But guess what? Jesus told us, and he gave the example of what we need to do concerning our enemies. And a lot of you need to be turning the cheek, amen, not trying to find a better angle so you can strike harder. Huh? We got to get back to the reality of what this is. Amen? I know that's a little hard because we want to believe that that God is going to strike our enemies down. When Jesus Christ came, the battle shifted from the natural to the spiritual. Prior to that, we see that whenever there was an enemy of God, that he sent out the children of Israel. Judah would go out and they would fight them, and God would give them the victory in that battle. When we see the advent of Christ and then the Holy Spirit, we don't see them going out to battle anymore. We see them fighting spiritual battles. Hello, somebody. So some of you are still waiting on God to deal with your physical enemies. And he's not there for your physical enemies. You are the representation of Christ in the earth. And if Jesus could go out and deal with his enemies the way that he did, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and still bless them, huh? Then why are we having a problem with forgiveness? Hello, somebody. Isn't it a little interesting that the one thing that he did is one of the main things that we have a hard time doing? If you speak to anybody, they'll tell you about what somebody did, but they won't tell you how they forgave them. Church groups, meetings and things that go on, and people blocking each other because I remember when they first got over here, they wasn't here 3 months before they came up in here and did this, and we had worked a long time on that, and they derailed the whole thing. And I just ain't, you know, well, y'all been in the same church for 15 years. You mean you been holding on to something for 15 years? Dude, I just don't. Okay, well, how come the church can't grow? How come we can't go forward? How come you're stuck in yesterday? How come you can't forgive? Now think about all this time you've been asking God to forgive you. Hello? And if you can't forgive, then my Heavenly Father can't forgive you. Well, that's a little tough, isn't it? They think he can give them what they want, and that they won't have to bother believing a truth.
Yes, yes, yes.
They can't see.
Mm-hmm.
So all that you was just saying, Apostle, was about me changing and doing differently. Yeah. Well, what about them? Don't worry about them. Every man has to work out his soul salvation with fear and trembling. That means I have to change and you have to change. But I'm a lay member and you apostle. Yeah, yeah. Okay. We all have to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. That means that there's work that I have to do and there's work that you have to do. I may be further down the road on working on some of my stuff because I have to, I had to put some things to rest as I matured in this. Amen. Huh? But you just got saved 3-4 years. I'm not expecting you to be down the road where I am. But I do expect you to be 3 or 4 years down the road from where you started.
Mm-hmm. True.
We gotta stop just getting over the threshold and say I made it in. Mm-hmm. And actually do what you're here to do. Well, I don't want to deal with that. Why can't I just be close enough? That way, whenever I want to lay it down, I don't have too far to go to jump right back out the door and deal with something. And I can jump right back in. Listen, it's not promised to you to jump out and jump back in. We got to get it together. Does that mean that everybody's perfect? No. That means that everybody's not perfect. But we are on our way to being perfected. I'm going to slip up. You're going to slip up. But we shouldn't be slipping up every day and talking about the Lord got to help me. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit help you? Amen. Look what it says. It says, they're stone blind to the day spring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God will ever get. In other words, my focus has to be on Christ. If my focus is on Christ, then that means that when I preach and I minister, it's always going to be accurate. It's always going to be on point because the focus is not on anything other than the message. Who is the message? The one who came, Jesus.
Yes.
So my focus is on Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? Look what it says here in the fifth verse. It says, remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. That means I can't preach and put myself in the position of Christ. I am not synonymous with Christ. See, let me say that again. I'm not synonymous with Christ. Well, I'm going to do this for Jesus, so here, Apostle. No. Don't get it twisted. You see, whenever whenever God would send a messenger, an angel would come, and the people would bow down to them, they would tell them, get up. You say, see that you don't do that. You can't bow down to me. And say, see that you do it not, for I am a fellow servant just like you. Mm-hmm. And we got to get back to that. Amen. Because when the first time somebody bowed down, it shocked you so much that you didn't correct them. You just allowed them down there and told them, no, get up, try to be humble. But the next time they came in, you was looking to see if they was going to take a knee. Well, you know, they disrespected me because when they come in my presence, they don't even acknowledge that I'm here. Well, that's because you're looking for somebody to acknowledge you. Can they see Christ? Can they see Christ? Or is it really just about you? The Bible says it right here. Remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ. That means when you come in, just like the angels, when men would bow down to them, would say, see that you do it not, we have to make sure that we instruct the people, those who come to us, see that you do it not. I can be your spiritual leader without being the one that you worship. Amen? You don't do that. I remember Mother Boyd used to say it all the time. She said, listen, y'all going to get me in trouble with God.
She
huh? They say, y'all can't be up in here and can't nobody preach, can't nobody do nothing.
Right.
God talk to you and you can't move waiting on me to say something. No, we're trying to train you so you can hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
So you can discern the truth. So that you can walk in the power and in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be doing, helping you to grow. It's about Jesus,
yeah.
Huh? The Master. Look what it goes on and says. All we are is messengers, errand runners for Jesus, for you. It started when God said, light up the darkness. And our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. If you look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We can't miss the brightness on so many people today because they're trying to keep the spotlight on them. Doc, I'm about to go over here and drop this heavy word. Oh, okay. Well, did you talk with the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit is going to meet you there, or did you get your notes right first? Lord help us. We've become so polished in our dissertation that we don't need the Holy Spirit anymore.
True.
Well, guess what? Those of us who are trusting in Him, we need Him. I'm not talking about a catchphrase. I'm not trying to say it so I can be politically correct in a church setting. I'm telling you that I have nothing to say unless the Holy Spirit gives it to me. In other words, when He says here, if you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. Look what it goes on and says. Let me just finish this out my last couple of minutes. It says, we carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. Oh, I thought being around you guys, people hanging on you and the mic here, okay. Guess what? Unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. Why do we do it like that? This is where they mess it up. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. In other words, the power that I demonstrate has nothing to do with how powerful I am. It has everything to do with the anointing that resides on the inside of me. God called me as an apostle, anointed me as such, poured into me His anointing, and when I move in that authority. That's the only reason why you see it. But guess what? All of that belongs to Him, and when I'm dead and gone, He's going to anoint somebody else. They're going to carry the mantle and move on and do what needs to be done. Amen? As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know yourself that we're not much to look at, and those of you who have seen me and agree with that, keep that to yourself. Amen. Huh? We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized. All right, prophet. But God hasn't left our side. Amen. I was hoping that out of anyone who said that they see me, you have been the one that had an amen for me not looking that bad. Amen. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. In other words, we look like we've been through some things. We've endured some things.
Yeah.
But God has kept us. We haven't lost the faith. We still have the faith. And God wants you to look just like Him. Jesus was not, the Bible says that He was not one that was seemly, or He was comely to look at. You understand? In other words, He didn't bring attention to His physical appearance, so that when He came down, it was the power that He demonstrated that caused people to follow, and not because He had the prettiest smile and everything else. He's fair to us because what He did for us. Amen. Amen. And we want you to accept this Christ, amen, in your lives. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, we thank You for this word. Lord, You helping us to tear up and break up and the foundation of some of this theology that has been flawed in the world, and those who are following after it, who are disgruntled with the word of God. Thank You, Lord, because You're causing them now to hear a word that will reset and restructure their foundation, help them to walk according to Your will, Your plan, Your assignment for their life. Lord, if there's anyone who is not saved, Lord, I pray that they pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank You, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church that they may be matured and developed and go on to fulfill Your plan, Your will for their lives in this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll find out more about us. We pray that you become a vision partner with us. As we said at the very beginning of this broadcast, we need Your help. We need your help so that we can do the work that God has given us to do over in Kenya, Uganda, Nigeria, Pakistan, Philippines, and India. We need your help as brothers and sisters. Help us to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it is God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.